Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, for Darlene Chick, change has been a lifelong companion. It started way back. She started her career with roles in kids' TV. Then she went on to record advertising jingles. Her first big change would be moving interstate, becoming music pastor of Australia's largest church, Hillsong Church, recording some of the world's most famous worship songs. But over the last few years, she's been through a bit of change again, passing on the baton to younger leaders and moving into a more international ministry. She's kind of wrapped up some of those lessons into a new book called The Great Generational Transition, and it is an absolute delight to have her here. Darlene, welcome.
Thank you. Last time
we had a chat was our final show for 2007 it was, and it was a great night too.
It was a great night.
It was fantastic, yeah. Now, let's just talk about what are you doing now, because you'd still be so well known with the connection with Hillsong Church, and of course that's still your church, and you still serve and minister there, and yet you're no longer senior worship pastor or whatever the role was back then.
Yeah. Well, I, on purpose, a couple of years ago, made a transition out of that role. Really felt to for a lot of reasons, but the main one was to do with my family and just wanted to make sure I was spending more time there. So I became a volunteer and Joel Houston took on the leadership, and he's doing a phenomenal job, I've got to say. And It's a real delight, actually. It's much easier than I thought it would be on many levels. I guess because I'm still there, still part of the team, and it's my church and my kids and my husband, and, you know, our life is, so much of our life is there. So, yeah, it's been a great joy. But this is a new season for us, and, you know, I'm about to be grandma.
Congratulations.
I know. You meant to say right now, gee, you look too young to be a grandma.
You look way too young to be a grandma, darling.
Yeah,
has anybody told you that?
Perfect.
Right on cue, that one was.
But no, it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful time. And I want to make sure I'm there, you know what I'm saying, not just running past it. It's been great, been involved more in missions and working a bit more with Joyce Meyer. This year we're going into Zimbabwe and Calcutta. We've just done a great, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever been part of. It was in Papua New Guinea, in
is
the prison.
Steve and Grace was a part of this trip. He told us a little bit about this.
Oh,
sounded
gosh.
Like an amazing, wasn't it? Half of Port Moresby came out to be a part of it?
They say between 60 and 70% on the last night.
Yeah.
Everywhere you looked, there were people, over 400,000 people came out. And actually at the end of the night, and Joyce had gone, you know, she preached and left, and because she'd been there for days, and but we just kept leading worship, you know, in a lot of these distant lands where worship is all they have, you know, then there's no way you're going to sing for an hour and they let you go home.
Yes.
Like we, they're going to sing until you fall over, you know, and they're going to outlast all of us.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But when we finished for the band and the team that were there, it was a real holy moment, and all of us were shaken to the core. I said, God, please let us never be the same. And it's moments like that, you know, that I love being love being part of, and just serving the developing world.
Which is obviously what you and your husband Mark are doing so much of now, because of there was Hope Rwanda, which you and Mark were behind. You championed it. There was Hope Cambodia in, 2007? And the next one is Hope New Guinea?
Yeah. 2011.
So would you have ever imagined this kind of life, Darlene, when you're, you know, being involved in these kinds of international mission kind of projects, which are high scale projects, you know, when you're a girl in the Brisbane suburbs?
No, except, you know, when my grandparents and my parents, you know, when I was a lot younger, they used to take us into church, and my parents actually planted a church kind of before our little family went haywire for a little season. But in that time, you know, every weekend, I remember going into, there's this home for Aboriginal kids called Opal Home. And we used to go every weekend in our big van where you're all allowed to stand up in those days in the van. And I remember being the only white kid in the middle. We'd pick them up every week and take everyone out to church. And I don't know, I think there was a seed put in me really, really early. But then I also know that because we, humanity, you, me, made in the image of God, and because his heart is for the broken, suffering humanity, there is that thing in all of us that is, I don't think, ever finds closure until it goes and helps and serves. Mm-hmm. We've seen people on an amazing journey to faith mm-hmm. through this as they discover, oh my gosh, this is actually what I was born to do. Mm-hmm. I wondered what this was about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I've asked questions for years to the sky, but I never really realized there was a God who actually heard every time I asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's answering them. You know, I could just keep you here for hours with great stories.
I'm sure. Pretty special time of life.
It really is.
Yeah. Darlene Check is with us on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au on the podcast. So, Darlene, let me transition to this notion of transitioning.
Yeah.
Because you have then let go of these very high-profile roles in Hillsong Church and then have then been able to be free to take on what God has got ready for you next, which I think is such a key lesson in itself. But let's talk about the transition process that you had to go through when you let go of some of those roles. Was there ever any grief? Was there ever any kind of, oh, I'm letting go of a bit of a baby here for you?
Oh, tumultuous, excruciating, overwhelming grief at times. Not because of what I was doing. Because, you know, in letting go, you have to, there is a moment in letting go where you don't know if there will ever be anything in your hand again. There's no guarantees. And so that was big. But I have trusted God. And to me, even if I let go and I became a full-time mum, I see that as actually my highest calling. And so there was a safety net there. I'm like, if that's what I do for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. and I know I'll be fulfilled, it'll be crazy. But I know I'll be fulfilled. But it's things like albums and producing, it, all the behind the scenes of creating moments, openers, they're the things that I actually found really hard to creatively let go. You know, I'm so blessed and the guys are so great and, you know, they're very honouring. Anything I want to say I can input into, you know, I can kind of pick my level. But I do also try not to abuse that and just mm-hmm. let them run with it because they're amazing. I think the fact that I am still there, not going anywhere, there's been no great bloodshed, I actually felt in a spirit realm a deep responsibility to do this well. And so my margin for self wallowing is very minimal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just knew if I can help other worship pastors, etc., transition, then I need to put my big girl shoes on
mm-hmm.
and do this honestly and transparently, but well.
Why should leaders pass the baton?
Because if they don't, the life and the breath that comes with new, it won't be there. And I think there is a responsibility, you know, right throughout the word, it's like from one generation to another. David talks about in his dying breath that his life would be served well into the next generation. Moses says exactly the same thing. He's like, oh, that my life would be passed on well to the next generation. It troubled me for a while that I didn't have any kind of skill level for this. I went and spoke. I was very blessed to be able to speak to John Maxwell and just... He said,
well-known leadership expert.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. can I help you with? And I'm like, here is my struggle. I know deep in my spirit that this needs to be done. I'm not going anywhere, but I know that this has to be led well. And he said, well, unless you explain why you do what you do, the why behind the what,
mm-hmm.
it will never be handed on well.
Give us a concrete example of that.
If people, well, even in worship. So say I'm raising up a new worship team mm-hmm. underneath us. We're bringing up a new team. If they copy a method, a style, then that's what they will bring to the table. Rather than, now if we taught them a biblical understanding of worship, if mm-hmm. we talked to them about the gifts and callings that are on their lives, if we talked about what they bring to this feast of worship to God from their heart, if we talk about truth and authenticity, and then say, now you come
mm-hmm.
and bring,
mm-hmm.
well, the expression will be so different than to if we just taught them, now, page one, let's go to bar 13, let's tidy that up. It will be a great bar 13, but it's not going to have that passion. It's not going to have that original sound that is coming from the new.
Mm-hmm.
In the Harvard studies that I read, they said in typical in business, especially in families, when you're passing on a family business, if the why is not taught but only a method, then four generations until that whole business has gone.
That's telling, isn't it? That's really insightful,
really,
isn't it?
Really telling.
It's a unique thing for us to be talking about in relation to Hillsong music, in the sense mm-hmm. it's got such a global brand now.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Philippines and I was singing mm-hmm. Hillsong songs, mm-hmm. so singing your songs. Of course, the thing will be that style is not actually held to as mm-hmm. just like a form. Like you said, it's actually the whole reason why we're singing, the whole reason why we're worshipping
exactly
God.
Right.
Then that'll actually sprout off into a whole heap of different movements in the future.
Actually, you know, the developing world has taught me so much about this, you know, because they have no access to a style. Like even the phrase, a lifestyle of worship, they just slammed us down. They're like, lifestyle? Don't be ridiculous. This isn't a lifestyle. This is our life. Mm-hmm. This is all we've got. There's no style. This is life.
Good point.
And I'm just like, point taken, forgive me.
Yes.
And I will never say that again. They said, what a Western phrase.
You must assume something that we take on, doesn't it? And they say, no, this is all we've got.
This is all we've got. Mother Teresa said, you'll never know Jesus is all you need till Jesus is all you've got.
Mm.
You know, the young guys, oh my gosh, they're leading. But the young people are so mindful of what they've been handed.
Mm.
And that's where my passion came from. Even if all this does is spark some good discussion, some healthy conversation. A lot of these conversations are not easy to have because, you know, if the guys who've been around for a long time are feeling a little bit threatened about, well, what does this mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger guys are going, just give it to me, you're old-fashioned, you know. Well, that doesn't help either. You know, the church at her finest is everybody. We have to have conversation,
yes.
Not assume and not judge.
Yeah, and not get threatened.
And not get threatened.
Not get threatened. This is Open House across the nation. Darlene Check, the least threatening person I think we know, is with us tonight. Her new book is on generational transition, this idea that leaders, there is a time when you pass the baton to the younger generation to take up their specific role, particularly in the church we're talking about tonight, and let them flourish, let them go and do it. We're talking about how to do that well, and that's what Darlene's been talking about in her book. Now, let me just give you a couple of these values that you explore in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to unpack them just briefly for me each mm-hmm. time, because people will be saying, okay, well, how do I do this? I guess we've already covered the fact that it needs to happen. The best thing is not to be reactionary about it. When you're the leader who needs to pass the baton, don't also go away, because you need to be there to actually help and nurture and coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coaching's a key word, really,
coach
isn't it?
Coach is a key word.
And for the younger generation, well, you know, remember your heritage, but mm-hmm. also take the baton and run. Let me give you these key values then. You talk about open doors.
Yep. I just remember years ago that Mark and I had to make a decision, as uncomfortable as it is, because I'm quite a private person, but we made a decision to just have that thought of living with an open door. Because I found that our guys, you know, they can lead worship, they can play and write me under the table. They're unbelievable. But the questions coming through were, when you got to talk to the actual human on the other side of that gift, I'm struggling with my money. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pay bills. It was like, how do I date somebody? What's a healthy boundary? How far is too far? How do I get married and stay married? I want to, you know, it was all these questions. And I'm like, are you serious? Is this the ministry of raising up the next generation? Mm-hmm. And I discovered an overwhelming yes.
Just being a pastoral presence to them, just simply being there to help them work through these things in life, yeah, from a
you
Christian
know,
perspective.
And I put down there that my kitchen bench is the great pastoral meeting place.
Uh-huh.
So that's what open doors means.
Beautiful, beautiful concept. Somebody said to me the other day, you know what, I realized the other day that the people that had actually had the greatest impact in my life were the people who took me in and fed me.
That's exactly right.
It's actually having that open door into somebody else's life. And actually, you know, let's get really practical. Into your home, there is something so warm and inviting when people come
and
into your home. And honest.
And honest.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you haven't been able to clean up before they come.
That's exactly right. And see real life. And this is what I see the young people. You know, they're creative. They're amazing. but they're trying to find out how to live well.
Absolutely. Another value you talk about is what you call championing genius. So this is really, this is actually quite a humble thing when you actually are so much nurturing your own genius, your own talent or gift or whatever it might be, but you're raising up somebody else's.
Yeah, it is a really, really big thing to be able to just say, come on in and bring ideas, knowing full well that their ideas are going to be so much greater than yours. But that's why I'm saying one of the values in there is called vision. And I actually don't think you can do this unless you have a vision for your life.
A vision for your own life?
For your own life. Because when that is strong, you have your hands are more open to help other people realize
okay.
theirs.
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
think when your vision for your own life is lacking, you hold on so tightly.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right there. You know that, you know, God's got you on a particular path and you can then be free to actually nurture these people who may well overtake you, but you know what your path actually is.
Well, I think if you do a good job, they actually will overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a matter of if.
Okay, well, maybe that's part of the goal then. How will you help them to overtake you?
I think so. When I was a lot younger and leading worship, and we'd go into the Horden Pavilion, and when it was full, you know, we'd all be terrified and go, this is unbelievable. But, you know, now my kids, they go from stadium to stadium. It's like their lounge room.
Something else, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. And yet this is actually their playground, and they are genius. They are born for the most incredible media, the vision, they are born for it. It's part of their wiring. And I go, yeah, this is the genius generation who are equipped for it. But we have still got to bring them through and say, you can do this. Because they're still going, oh, I don't think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's too big.
Another one of these values that you have is called the squeeze.
Okay, well, this is a leadership principle, and I just talk about how much is too much pressure to place on young people. I remember once being in a meeting where we were talking about as leaders for our volunteers. We were talking about the squeeze, and someone's talking about, you know, well, maybe we could be here and then not do this and do this one and not do this one. And I must have got really quiet. And one of the leaders said, Darlene, why are you so quiet? And I said, well, I'm all for not killing people. That's great when it comes to volunteering, etc. So, but I know in our team, there's no way we would be doing what we're doing today if it wasn't for that squeeze. You know, getting up at
a little bit of pressure
4 a.m. and all the production guys packing trucks and unpacking, and us having people who are in local churches right at the moment. It's tough, and the young guys are getting out there and setting up chairs and PAs every weekend. It happens all over our country every weekend. But I'm telling you, it will be the making of you. It really will. And this is where that chapter comes from. It's mm-hmm. like, how much is too much? Well, too much is when it starts to damage your soul, or you become resentful, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a point of pressure which is very, very healthy, and you will never, ever know what you are capable of without it.
Mm-hmm. Darlene, one last question before you go. There may well be some folks listening who will kind of felt like they've never achieved anything significant as leaders. What's your parting word to them when it comes to, I don't even know if I've got something to pass on? What baton? I don't even know if I took the baton myself.
Do you know, if you have encouraged a life, then you can go to bed at night knowing you've done something very significant. We see crowds, God sees individuals. You know, so I would just encourage leaders. Seriously, your best days are all ahead of you. His mercy is in you every morning. You get up tomorrow morning and just make the shift. Go, every person I come into contact with, I personally am going to build them up. One person is enough, but you can do it every day
mm-hmm.
to every person that you meet. And that's where it starts. I actually believe the great ministries in life, that's where they start. And if that is where they finish, then that is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, Darlene, always a delight to talk to you. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Oh, my pleasure. It's an absolute privilege to be here.
Well, all the best with the new book and everything else that you and Mark are doing. It's fantastic.
Thanks,
work.
Darlene. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.